So if you're a prepper, a last days prepper, if you're a end of world prepper, then this podcast is probably for you. So we know about all of this prepping, getting guns and bullets and food and water and shelter and digging holes in the ground and all this stuff. And we've looked on the maps and we know where to go and hide in the bush and in the countryside and in mountains and hidden away valleys and all of these things so that the government can't get us, or the zombie apocalypse, they can't get to us. And so I want to talk about Christian last day prepping. I want to talk, what would you need to prep for the last days? Well, the Lord said to his disciples, when you see Jerusalem encompassed about with the Romans, and you get the chance, when you see also these things that spoke about in the prophet Daniel, then run. He said, don't even go back to your house to get your stuff, run. So you would have needed to have had something somewhere to go to. So all they needed was another alternative town. And you'll find that a lot of the Christians in AD 70, when Jerusalem got attacked by the Romans, that there was hardly any Christians died in that. And they actually left beforehand and went to all the other towns around about, and they never got killed. But all of the Jews got killed, millions of them. So what I want to talk to you is about last day prepping, and we are in the last days. So what do you need? Well, Jesus said to his disciples, take neither scrip or purse or a pole or staff. He said, I'll look after you. Just go to a house, and the ones that you find are worthy, ones that are looking to the Lord, the ones that have some sort of vision, go and stay there and let your peace be upon them, on that place. And after, you know, really, really looking, I've got lots of people who are talking about prepping and all this stuff. There's nothing wrong with prepping, but, you know, people forget about the Holy Spirit. The Lord can do anything on your behalf to supply your needs. He can move on other people. He can move on people who are not in the Lord. And He can give them the desire to help you. It's in the Bible. And if you actually go to my sowing and reaping teaching and go to the bottom, you'll find the scriptures there. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running all over. Right? For with the same measure, or shall men give unto your bosom. I'll say that again. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaking together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, wherewith it shall be measured to you again. Then it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And then in 20 it says, And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So, yeah, basically how that all equates, how to break all those scriptures down, is basically, men shall give unto your bosom. God will move on unsaved people, and they will supply your needs. And how will they do that? Will they hear from God, say, I better bless this person? No. Most of the time, God will give those ungodly people thoughts or wisdom that will help their business or their circumstances, and you will be part of that helping. So we'll just pick something randomly. You know, a guy's got he's got a company that he repairs houses, and he says, "What do we do?" And his staff come to him and say, "If we repair a house free of charge and get them to advertise that we actually did that and put a sign in front, then we can get work." So they go to you and they say, "Excuse me, we see that your house is all broken down. We would love to repair, totally renovate your house, and it may cost $30,000 or $50,000 or $100,000, but we're willing to flip the bill, and we just want to use you as a demonstration of what we've done." And you go, "Wow, I've just been on my knees praying about this because I've got no money, and God has answered my prayers." And the guy goes, "Well, I don't care about God. This is what we want to do because we're only interested in our business. You can pray, but this is what we're doing." So they're not doing it because they're motivated by God to try and bless you. Their thoughts are vain, but God's going to use them to bless you. You know, so your car is busted, and you go to a car yard, or you go to a mechanic, and the guy before that that morning says to the head mechanic, "Listen, every 50 customers that come in, we give them a free total fix up of their car, and we're going to use that as a promotion." So you pop up and they say, "You know what? You're the 50th person. We want to do this for you." They're blessing you because God moved on them and they didn't even know. And God's moving on them to get to you, to bless you. He doesn't have to go after saints and they're the only ones that can bless you. The worst person in the world can bless you. So when it comes to prepping, what do you need? Well, you know, I had a brother. He was going to get everything, and I said, "Look, just do what's biblically correct. Just get 5 or 10 of the things you like that you eat, not things you don't like, and just get 5 of them. You know, 5 cans of baked beans, 5 cans of this can of tomato, or this, or you know, just get 1 bag of rice, okay? And you don't need to build a big storeroom. Just get a little bit. And if you're full of God, which is the key, then you can pray over the rice. You can pray over any of the food, and the food will just keep coming, and it won't diminish. That's biblical. And, you know, if you need to spend your time seeking God and not worrying about this life. Jesus said to his disciples, "When you get taken to jail, don't worry about what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words at the exact time, and you will speak wisdom, and I will be there." You know, so basically, God's not asking us to do a great prep. You know, those disciples which were told, "When you see Jerusalem, when you see the desolation, abomination happening, right, sitting in the temple, then run. Forget about what you've got, run." But probably all they needed to prepare was, which town do we run when this happens? So they find a town, okay, that's the town we're going to go to, that's it. That's all they needed to know. They didn't need to get a donkey and a cart full of all this stuff and slowly go up the track to the town. They were told to go straight away because everything was going to be prepared for them. So it's all about trusting in God, getting full of God, and walking in faith. And you can't walk in faith if you haven't got it inside you. You can't make faith up. You can't fake faith. You can't fake hope. You can't fake trusting in God. Sometimes, you know, people put you all up against the wall, so we're going to shoot you, and you just stand there and you don't know what to do and you get shot. They say, "Wow, those guys were really faithful." Well, they couldn't do anything anyway. They couldn't run. They just took it. That didn't take faith. They were just stuck. But, you know, to have faith inside you, you can do a lot of stuff. Bullets can bounce off. You know, people can who are doing the shooting can be scared off by angels. If you've got faith can do lots of stuff, but you've got to have it inside you first. So the Bible says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So I would build my stockpile of faith up in the Holy Spirit rather than fill a whole room full of food and ammunition and all that other stuff. I mean, if you're a Christian, what are you doing? Going to kill everybody? How are you going to do that? In the name of Jesus, shoot them? No, the Bible says, let them that ask for your stuff, give it to them and bless them. You know, so now that's, it's contrary to the Word of God. God doesn't want us to just not prepare, but we need to prepare in our hearts first and then have that stored up. Because faith and confidence in God's promises is the best warehouse, the best storehouse you're ever going to have. It's going to be the thing that's going to save you. You know, Peter, he got put in jail. James got killed with the sword, and Peter's in jail, and there's a whole lot of guys around him, and he's in jail overnight. He knows that he's going to die in the next couple of days, so he just falls asleep. You'd be sweating. You'd be worrying. You'd be thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this? I'm going to die, right? But he just went to sleep. So why did he go to sleep? Well, he knew that Jesus said to him when he was old, he was going to be hung upon the cross. And Peter wasn't old then, so he knew that somehow, some way, he was going to get out of this. So he didn't bother. He just went to sleep. Because it was God's problem, because God promised him what he was going to do and how he's going to die, and it wasn't going to be in this prison because he wasn't old. So he knew that something was going to happen. So an angel turns up in the middle of the night, tells him to put his shoes on, and goes out of the, opens the gates up, the shackles fall off of him, and he ends up going to a saint's place, you know, and they thought he was a ghost. It's quite funny. But the people who were praying for Peter, they probably were interceding for Peter, saying, God, help us. Our brother Peter is in jail. We need to get him out. You know, couldn't you please help us? And God sent an angel. But then when Peter turns up, they didn't even believe that it was Peter. So they didn't even really believe their prayers. They weren't confident in their prayers, which is quite funny. So these people weren't confident in their prayers, and they still got through because God had an agenda. Peter wasn't to die then. He was to die when he was old, very old. Okay, so, you know, if we've got confidence in God, if God has spoken over you, and you trust in God, all those things are going to happen to you. God says he's going to use you, he's going to use you. You know, if God says he's got something for you in the future, then nothing's going to happen to you now unless you give up on that promise that God has told you he's going to use you. Unless you not walk in faith and believe what God has spoken about you. And if you pray in the Holy Spirit will give you the answers to the questions that you need answering. He will speak the mysteries of God to you in your understanding so that you will know who you are and what you are here for and your plan and purpose in life, to be used by God, and to where to go, what to do, what to say. God's got it all in hand. So if you're prepping, be full of God. Prep for the power and the presence of God. Because when hail comes over my house, I put my hand up and the hail doesn't come near it. I don't build a super strong building to withstand hail. I just get full of God. And that is the get out of jail card that you can always have. No matter where you get put or what happens to you or your circumstances or your resources, God can, he can move on other people, pressed down, shaking together, running out all over. Will God pour into your storehouses so that you have resources to live life? If there's no food at all, God can do all sorts of things. He can take away your hunger. He can take away your degradation, you're getting skinny. You don't lose weight. You say, well, how can God do that? He's done it in the Old Testament with three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which were taken captive to Babylon. And they said to their handler, they said, we can't eat this stuff. We're Jews. We're not allowed to eat this stuff. We don't eat pigs. So the handler said, listen, if you don't eat, I'm going to get in big trouble. They said, we'll make you a deal. You know, I think it was 14 days. They said, we're going to eat our own food for 14 days. And if we're not healthy, then we'll eat your pigs. Okay? So they trusted in God. And they were more healthier than the other ones. So I'm sure the handler said, okay, I can see. So God was able to make them sustained of their food, and even better than the other people who ate all the pigs and everything else. I'm not saying it's wrong to eat pigs, because we're in the New Testament. We can eat all things if we bless it when we eat it, because God has taken away the food laws from us. They were meant for the Jewish people. They weren't meant for new Christians. They were meant for the Jewish nation, to separate them, to show them different. But we won't get into the food laws just yet. We can go into a greater thing about that later. Okay, there's a lot of people who are mixing the Old Testament up with the New Testament. Some people want you to, you know, be all circumcised. I never see anything in the New Testament where it says you're not saved unless you're circumcised. That's crazy. You have to be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's all you need to have. So we'll leave it there.